this space, for this moment in time together. It's all for your glory, God. It's all for you. We love you. It's in Jesus' holy and precious name. We say together, amen. We'll be right back.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. Thanks for joining us here at Trinity this morning. We love to gather together as often as we can to worship. And there's something special about doing that on the first day of the week, in the morning. And we do that in the tradition of the ancient church, where they gathered not on Saturdays, but on Sundays, because they were celebrating the new life in Jesus Christ and His resurrection. Amen. And so we get to do that too. And there is the hope of new life here on this side of heaven and also for all of eternity because of Jesus Christ. And so there is much to be thankful for and much to celebrate. And of course, we are in that season of Thanksgiving. But as believers and as a church, we always have something and someone to be thankful for. So we worship God together this morning. We'll do it through the reading and hearing of His Word. We'll do it through song, and in just a minute, we're going to stand and sing songs of praise together. We worship God through prayer, and we worship God even through fellowship, as we were doing earlier before service, and we have more time after as well. And all of that can be aspects of worship, because worship simply is our response to God's goodness. It's about lifting up the name of God, and we are taking the focus off of ourselves and placing it where it needs to be, and that is in the Lord Jesus. And so let's just have our call to worship now as we turn our focus and attention to Him, and then after our call to worship, we'll stand and sing songs of praise to Him.
Okay, good morning. So our reading this morning is Psalm 63, 1 through 8. O God, You are my God. Earnestly I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My body longs for You in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen You in the sanctuary and beheld Your power and Your glory. Because Your love is better than life, my lips will glorify You. I will praise You as long as I live, and in Your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise You. On my bed, I remember You. I think of You through the watches of the night. Because You are my help, I sing in the shadow of Your wings. My soul clings to You. Your right hand upholds me. Lord, thank You. Thank You for helping us. Thank You for upholding us through this earthly life. Give us a deeper longing and thirst for You. We ask in the power of Your name, Jesus, that You keep us all humbled before You and unified under You, showering each other with grace. Please bring healing and comfort to those in our body who are struggling. Speak through Pastor Keith this day. Prepare our hearts to hear Your message for us, Lord. And may you draw us closer to you as we worship in song. May you be glorified in all that takes place this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
All the world will praise. Power. you're the same God. This is who we worship tonight. He's the same, he's the same. Oh God, how I need you. How I need you. You freed the captives. You're freeing hearts right now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You touched the lepers. I feel your touch right now. You are the same God. You are the same God. Every change, oh, forever. We feel you now. You're the same God. You're the same God, yeah. How we need you now, yeah.
Thank you, Lord, that you are that same God. Lord God, we thank you that you are the same God that parted the seas. You are the same God that made promises and kept them. You are the same God that died on the cross just for us, Lord. So we thank you for that. We're going to go into a time of intercession. We're going to today be praying for the hungry. Yesterday, a few of our members went to Kensington, Pennsylvania, next in Philadelphia, and they worked with the hungry. But today we're going to just spend time praying for the hungry. We could pray for the hungry, for the physically hungry, the people that just don't have enough bread, that don't have food to feed their families, but we can also pray for the spiritually hungry, those who are calling out and they are saying, there's more to life than this, and they want to know Jesus. So today what we're going to do is we're going to just have a time of prayer. You could pray by yourself. You could join with someone else. We're going to have a few minutes of just interceding on behalf of the hungry. I'm going just to give us a verse just to praying God's word is just a one way of us just, when we don't have words, reading God's word. God is very pleased when we read his word and we pray the words back to him. So we're just going to read 107 verses 4 through 9. And then I'm just going to invite a few minutes of prayer time for the hungry. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, for he satisfies the thirsty, and he fills the hungry with good things. We're just going to have a few minutes of prayer. You could just pray in your seat quietly, or you could join with one of your fellow brothers or sisters. Lord, we thank you so much that you are the same God. We thank you that you are the God of Mary, whose favor rests upon the lowly. I know with you all things are possible. We thank you that you satisfy the thirsty and you fill the hungry with good things. So, Lord, help us to see the hungry in our community. Help us to see our hungry neighbors, both physically and spiritually, Lord. And as we know, that spiritual hunger is so much more important. But, Lord God, help us to just see our hungry neighbors, Lord God. Help us to intercede on behalf of them. Help us to speak. Help us to give. Help us to encourage each other and point that you are the answer. You are the thing that satisfies. You are our daily bread, and in you we have eternal. Thank you, Jesus. So we're just going to continue in worship with singing. So if you wanted to keep praying, you can. You could sing. You could sit. So we're just asking you just to keep engaging with God as we finish off with our singing worship.
My one defense, my right.
Father God, you are our portion, our provider, our sustainer. Father, you are the one to whom we have been singing and the one about whom we have been singing. And God, you deserve all the praise and honor, glory. Thank you that you are with us. Thank you that you have been hearing us. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have been leading us. We desperately do need you. Lord, remind us often to keep worshiping and praying, worshiping and praying. And Lord, during this season especially, that we would keep praying for those that are hungry, that physically need your sustenance, and spiritually who desperately need your provision. God, thank you for this sweet time together. May you continue to be glorified. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you take just a moment to say good morning to somebody next to you? If we can find our way back to our seats. Praise the Lord. Just for a very special time of worship, intercessory prayer, of fellowship. And before we dive into God's Word together, I just want to get caught up on what's going on here at Trinity. We call this a church life, just so we kind of are all on the same page about what's been going on and some things to look forward to. It helps us also to pray and to find out how we can stay involved or get involved. So remember, here at Trinity, we have these core values, which are very important to us. We learn, we grow, and we serve. That's how we pursue being followers of Jesus. We learn the truth, and we grow in our faith, in our trust of the Lord, and then we serve. And we serve each other, and we serve the community and the world around us. And so that's an important part of our DNA here at Trinity, that we learn, we grow, and we serve, and we get to do it together. Ladies, your retreat is in February this year. It's a winter getaway. Those are the dates. All the information is on our website, trinityallenwood.com. Make sure you check it out and sign up. You can put your deposit in and get all the information about the time and the place and the theme and all that's going on. So make sure, ladies, you have that on your calendar. Check that out. This is a great opportunity to invite some friends, some neighbors, some family that you've been sharing your faith with. It would be a good opportunity to do that and to meet some other women in the church, perhaps that you don't know very well. Our time to get away is a good opportunity to do that. Ladies, your Christmas party is coming up. Yes, we're starting to use that word, Christmas. And it's coming up soon, right? And so the party is on December 12th, that Friday. And all the information, along with everything else, of course, is on our website. But check it out. Put that on your calendar, ladies. And that's the annual gathering for the Women's Christmas Party from 7 to 9:30 on December 12th. I believe that's a Friday. So put that on your calendar and check that out. Men, we have our breakfast. Both these things involve a lot of food. We tend to do that a lot. Men's breakfast coming up on Saturday, November 22nd. And we gather here at 8:30 in the church. So guys, put that on your calendar. We not only eat together, but we enjoy great fellowship. And we have a testimony or a word of devotion from one of the guys that kind of shares what God has been doing in their life. And so a great opportunity to be encouraged. So that is coming up on the 22nd. Today is the second of our three-week series on the discipleship pathway and of the newest resource called Your Gifts, Your Calling, and Your Service. And so last week we talked about our spiritual gifts. Today we'll be talking about our calling, that we are called to a calling by God. And so just want to make sure you realize we're in the middle of that. We have been going through the Gospel of Matthew together, and we've just taken a short break on that. But then, of course, we have another series coming up I'll mention in a moment. But this is a new announcement. On Saturday the 29th, we'll be decorating our church for Christmas. And so it's all ready for Advent season, which begins the day after. So, you know, many hands make for light work. And so that morning we'll be getting together. So put that on your calendar. We'll send out reminders, excuse me, as well, text messages and emails reminding you. But we'd love to get anybody that's available for just a couple of hours to help us decorate for the season. So that is on Saturday, November 29th, coming up. Thanksgiving Eve service, of course, we do that on the night before Thanksgiving, and so we also have a wonderful time of testimony that evening. That's mostly what we do. We take communion together, and then we have just a time of fellowship, some pie and coffee that the church provides after that to get you ready for the next day's festivities. So Thanksgiving Eve service is a very special time. Where most of that evening is just sharing stories about God's goodness in your life so you can be encouragement to others, right? Our Advent season is coming up. That's why we're decorating, getting ready. There will be a four-week Advent sermon series this year, and it's called Unexpected, and we'll just kind of leave it at that. But what does that word unexpected mean in the midst of the familiar Christmas story? So that's coming up. And then, of course, we conclude that series with our very special Christmas Eve candlelight service. 6 p.m. we meet here for a special time of worship and praise and, of course, celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that is that special service. And then we do have this is another thing that we do each year, the project that we partner with one of our missionary, long-standing missionary partners that goes into the local prisons to bring the word of God and encouragement and hope. And so during this Christmas season, what we do is we partner with them to purchase gifts for the children and the grandchildren of those who are incarcerated. And we've been doing this for many years, but if this is something you've heard about and you haven't participated yet, a good opportunity to get involved. There's a sign up out in the lobby, and you can just show that you're interested in participating. And basically, it just entails purchasing some gifts. We have all the details about how much and the age of the kids, but you purchase gifts for these children. We bring them into the church, and sometimes there's even the opportunity to help deliver them. And so that is happening now. And so if you're interested, and just you can see the sign up sheet out in the lobby to help participate in that wonderful project again this year. And then I think my final announcement for this morning is just to remind you to take a blessing bag or two. If you don't know what those are, out on our missions table, you'll see them just as you're leaving by the kitchen door there. We have blessing bags. They're basically hygiene kits. And we give them out at every outreach, and you'll hear more about that in just a moment. But also we encourage you to take one or two. Keep it in your car because you never know where the Lord's going to take you each day and who you might meet. And you might actually come across somebody that is in need. And what a wonderful way to bless somebody with an immediate need, somebody that is struggling, but also can be a great conversation starter and a way to be able to start a conversation with somebody about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen? And so I would encourage you, if you don't have one in your car, to take one of those and just pray that the Lord would provide opportunity, because I guarantee that He will. And so it's a good way to be able to bless somebody and to open up a conversation about why it is that you're even handing out that blessing bag. Our missions team sets a goal each year about how many we would really like to be able to hand out throughout the year individuals, but also in our outreaches. And so after yesterday's outreach in Kensington, we are up to, our goal was 1,000 blessing bags for this year. And so after yesterday, we have handed out 924 blessing bags. And so we praise God. And so I encourage you, there's no outreach for December. We take a Sabbath rest for December. So take some, hand them out, be a blessing to people. But what a great opportunity to do that. So I do want to hear for a few minutes some word of testimony about yesterday's outreach down in Philly in the area of Kensington. It is, I believe, the largest open-air drug use community in the country. And we partnered with another church down there, and just wanted to be able to share. So Kimberly, I believe you were going to share something. So if you come up, and then we're going to have our elder Bruce come and share after her. So come on up. There you go. Thank you.
Well, I was told I have a time limit, but I could spend the whole time talking about yesterday. As we were singing our last song, God, I need you. Oh, how I need you. I had the Spirit remind me specifically of a young lady that I had the opportunity to talk with yesterday during our service. Her name was Chantel. She was a young woman who said that her husband had dropped her there, I don't know how long ago, and left her there because of her drug use, and took their daughter away as well. The blessing of going with the Dream Center is that, much like our Jersey missions, they want to be that outreach that provides the physical need that they have in order to break the addiction, to give them the housing, to give them the spiritual feeding, to give them the skills. So they are developing the men's and the women's sheltering programs, so that as we went, we were told, if you encounter someone who is ready to leave that life right then, we had the ability to do that. And I thought that was amazing, because when I went last year, you do feel insignificant. Like, I know how important it is to plant seeds, but sometimes you want to be the harvester. But it's for various reasons, maybe you can't do that. So I felt like they equipped the missions team in a way that was just really remarkable. So as we were talking, we really thought she might be this person, because she was broken. She was also high at the time, but she was broken. And we asked, you know, do you want to leave? Like, if I had a bus right here and you said you wanted to leave, would you get in it with me? And her answer was no. So then we asked if she knew Jesus, and she said, yes, I love Jesus, and Jesus has been with me, and Jesus, you know. And she said, but I've lost my husband, I've lost my daughter, I've lost my family, so why not drugs? And that's when the Holy Spirit reminded me, because if you have Jesus, it's no longer our life. We no longer get to make that choice, because he bought our life with his precious blood. So I just pray that as we have opportunities to go out, like I said, sometimes you feel like all you're doing is planting the seed and you don't know where that seed's going. And it may be in heaven that we realize just how far, how fruitful that seed was. But anyways, like I said, I could keep going on about all these different things that we saw and the amazing outreach facility that the Dream Team is developing. They're still in development. So let me say that if you're definitely continue to give to our home church, your home church, but if you're also looking for an additional local mission, I think they've got a great foundation in which you could be confident that your financial support is benefiting.
Good morning. Just briefly, you know, Pastor's going to talk today about your calling in spiritual gifts. And I guess God's working in marvelous ways, because that's kind of how I was viewing the day. That lens, and I was asking the questions to the people who organized this particular church, like, how did this all happen? I'm kind of interested in that stuff. Like, what? How'd you get here? What's your process and what's your goal? So that's kind of like my lens. And so a couple things for me. I was taken back, and again, with the umbrella of spiritual gifts. I was taken back by their just graciousness and appreciation for us. That's a display of a gift. And you know, it was only five of us. But they treated us like we were 50, and we're coming in there with gangbusters, all kinds of resources. But they treated us like we were special, and they were appreciative. That came through. Like, they were so, and they took time out, five people. Which to me is like amazing. In a secular world, our economics is like, okay, well, that's not that significant. Let's move on. But they didn't see it that way. That's how God works, right? And so they stayed with us every step of the way. They didn't leave us alone, and they were gracious in that regard. And so I was just taken back by their loveliness toward us. That gift of graciousness and love toward us. And then I asked the question from the people who, the pastor there, this is a Catholic church that they purchased in this inner city, they bought it, and they're renovating it, and of course that kind of stuff is all like, okay, how'd you do that, and all this kind of stuff. So it's, again, God bless these people who are not me, because they came from Florida, the two of them get in the car and come from Florida, which they're going the wrong way. supposed to go down that way, right? But they're coming up here to the northeast, and they literally got in a car. There's a couple and a couple children. They're driving around Philadelphia area asking God where to land. Now, I'm not doing that, but I can support what they're doing. I can get that. Like, okay, I want to get on board. And they landed there, and they started church, and they started this process, and they're in the middle of it, and there's some stuff going on that got my attention. And that means that God is working in a great way. But these are these spiritual gifts that you're going to talk about that not all of us have. Because I'm not leaving a place and going out, but they do. These people do. The whole Bible is filled with these stories. And so that's they're a living example. That's what was really cool about the whole thing. And I was glad that I experienced that side of those things. But people out there, going out there, answering God's call, and just making it happen. That's kind of a cool thing. It was a good day. But thank you, yes, praise the Lord, absolutely.
Praise the Lord for our van, because we all got to travel comfortably in this van to one location. So,
thank you both. It's such a blessing to hear these words of testimony, you know, after an outreach. But these kind of stories are all around in our faith community here. And just ask others and get to know each other, because we're in this together. And we are called the body of believers and the family of God. And we're also likened to a building, and we're building each other up as we bless others. And so thank you both for sharing that. Can only imagine the plethora of stories that you would have to share. But wonderful insights, hopefully that encouraged you, but also maybe challenged you, that the next time that we have an outreach, that you would maybe step out of your comfort zone and go do that. And but also to pray, as Brother Bruce said, you know, maybe it's not your calling or your gifting, as we'll talk about this morning, but you can get behind it, and you can pray, and you can support other ministries, support other things that we're doing here that maybe you're not directly involved with, but that you can support through prayer and encouragement, because we certainly need that. So this morning, we are in week two of our three-week series, this mini series, on your gifts, your calling, your service. And this is part of our discipleship pathway resource. And I just thought it was an important time and an important season to be reminded that, yes, that at the moment you're a believer, you're given a spiritual gift, at least one. You're given that gift specifically to bless the church, to use it to honor God and to bless the church. But that in addition to that, we are called. We have a calling, and that's going to be our focus today as we look at that. So last week we talked about our spiritual gifts, and I'll do a quick review of that. And today our focus is on, what does it mean that we are called? What is it that is a calling? We'll look at some examples of that from the scriptures. And so some of the scriptures will be on the screen for you. Others, I'll invite you to just kind of listen. You can look them up in your Bibles if you'd like. But I'd like to begin with this story. Bishop Wright brought home a secret and special gift for his two sons. He worked hard serving the church, but the family didn't have much to spare on trinkets, especially with seven kids. So this simple, fragile gift would have cost only a few cents. But even that was a sacrifice. With an unusually playful grin, he called two of his seven sons into the room this one evening and asked for their attention. Turning around to shield their view for just a second, the bishop quietly wound a rubber band that spun a rotor of wood, paper, and cork. It weighed very little, although it was almost a foot long. The rotor turned a dowel connected to a small propeller blades, which formed a helicopter. It was based on a French invention. The bishop whipped around, released the toy in front of his two boys, and it gracefully took to the air. The delicate trinket seemed to defy physics as it bounced against the ceiling of their small home. Gasps and gawks all around. The two boys had never seen anything like it, and those two boys would never be the same. Years later, when these two boys, Wilbur and Orville Wright, achieved the first motor-operated flight on December 17, 1903, on a beach in North Carolina, one must wonder if the small toy from their father so many years before had something to do with that inspiration. Perhaps a sense of calling motivated them to introduce a quantum leap in travel, adventure, and quality of life for humanity. In their late years, Wilbur and Orville confirmed the power of their father's theatrics that day as kids. That small wooden helicopter was the spark of their passionate pursuit of motorized flight. And the influence of the Wright brothers lives on. In fact, the three-axis control system that they developed is still the standard for fixed-wing flight today. What a powerful influence, to say the least. How is God using you to influence others? And as we can reflect on our life, what things from your past might have been a spark for a calling in your life? See, as fascinating as this behind-the-scenes story may be, our Father in Heaven has a calling on our life that is certainly and dramatically more personal and weighty and urgent. Our Almighty God is constantly working, constantly on the move, constantly approaching the fulfillment of His perfect will for creation. And it certainly is astounding that He includes His sons and daughters, all adopted into His family by faith in Jesus, in the work that He is doing. He called us and gave us a calling. You can praise God for that. Isn't it amazing that we get to be a part of what God is doing? And see, last week we talked about spiritual gifts. What are these gifts that God has given us through His Holy Spirit? Where do we find them? Why are they important? And so just a quick review. The spiritual gifts, as we call them, these are gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit at the moment you become a believer. So at that moment in time that you put your faith in Jesus Christ and in Him alone for the salvation of your soul, you accept that free gift of eternal life by trusting in Jesus and in Him alone. When we do that, the Scriptures tell us that at that moment, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and He never leaves us, but He also gives us at least one spiritual gift. And the gifts are used to bless the church. So, God, in His sovereignty, lists these gifts in these four places in Scripture. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. And we also did a quick overview of what these gifts are like, right? So they are give us the ability to serve the church, and of course we are empowered by God to do it. They're given by God. They're given at that time of spiritual birth. It's kind of like when we are born physically, we're given certain talents and characteristics, and then we grow in them, right, over the years as we grow. But it's the same thing spiritually. At that moment of spiritual birth, we have been given gifts, and we grow in those as well. These gifts create unity, and every believer has at least one. They are different from our natural abilities, and of course, they are quite diverse, just like we are. We can certainly have more than one, but not all of them. They are different from the fruit of the Spirit. We're talking about gifts of the Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts. These certainly don't replace responsibilities given to all believers. If you have the gift of evangelism, you can be a leader in the church to encourage and challenge others to show how it's done, because it just comes more naturally to you as that gift. But if we have a gifted evangelist among us, it doesn't mean the rest of us can just mail it in and say, well, I don't have to tell people about Jesus. We'll just let this person do it. Because we are all called to tell others about Jesus, amen? So just because we've been given a gift, it doesn't mean that the rest of us don't have to exercise that same calling. But we also know that they need to be developed. We can grow in these gifts, and we will be held accountable for them before the Lord. And of course, we talked about then what the gifts are. There's a list. I won't go through all of them, but we went through them in detail. There's 22 to 23, depending on how you group them. But in all four of those places in Scripture, these are the ones that are listed, used for different purposes. But as we talked about it, if we are all church, all believers in the church, if we are using our spiritual gifts to the best of our abilities, and as we are growing, as we are letting the Holy Spirit work in and through us through those giftings, then we will be the healthiest church that we can be. But the opposite is also true. If we are not exercising our spiritual gifts by blessing others and blessing the church, we will not be a healthy, growing, maturing, witnessing, praying, worshiping church. So, how do we find out what these gifts are? Well, we pray and ask God for wisdom and discernment, for clarity. We read the scriptures and see what they say. We ask. You can ask others. Consult with maybe some gift experiments. You can go online. There's lots of surveys that you can take that might help you kind of hone in. And we serve. How about we just get started serving and helping others to help us discover what our giftings are? But that's just a brief overview of our spiritual gifts. But today we focus in the remaining time together on our calling. But listen to this summary and why I think it's so important that we talk about our gifts, our calling, and our service. The scripture refers to the church as a body, as a family, and as a building. The New Testament authors might also have used the image of a sports team, maybe if they were writing today. We're all familiar with the nature of a sports team. So a sports team, like a family and a building and a local church, and each member of a sports team has a role to play. When you're watching your favorite sport and your favorite sports team, it's easy to see when the players are not using their gifts and talents as they should, when they are not fulfilling their role. Why? Because the team is not functioning properly. There's something off. That's the thing that we always love to talk about on Mondays, right? After Football Sunday, of course, that's what we talk about, how our teams did. But see, just like that, and the Bible calls us a body, a building, a family, each one of us has a place, and that place is specific. It's based on the uniqueness of God's creation in us, each of us being made in His image, and the giftings that He has given us through the Holy Spirit. The body of Christ will be maximally effective in its mission when every member of the body is functioning and co-laboring in their distinct role under Jesus as the head. The building will only stand if each part of the structure is properly placed on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Amen? So, briefly, I'd like to go through this with you. You can just listen to these scriptures if you'd like. You can turn in your Bibles to them. I've listed them there for you. But I just want to give you four brief examples from the scriptures of what it means to be called of God. So basically what we're doing is we're taking these spiritual gifts and we're adding this idea of calling, that God gives us a spiritual gift at the moment of salvation, but then he calls us, and there's this general calling that we all have as believers, but there are unique and special callings as well. So briefly listen to these four examples. Let's start with Timothy. It's taken from 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul, giving his charge, his commissioning to Timothy, young Timothy, a young pastor and leader. He says in 2 Timothy 4, 1 to 5, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their desires. They will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your mission. This is Paul's final reminder to Timothy about his specific calling. See, Timothy needed to understand that he was significant, but so are we. God has a plan, a calling for all of us to the people of God. Didn't Jesus say to his first disciples, follow me? Was that not a calling? He said, come and follow me. But God invites us all believers, to be followers of his, to a particular influence, to a specific group of people for his purposes. When I was in college and then a young adult, I was in a Christian band. It was a Christian rock band, and we'd go around the East Coast and we would play at different venues, and we'd often play with other bands, kind of like festivals. And there were all different styles of music. They were all bands who were believers, who were Christians, but different styles of music. And the other bands, but of course there were kids that would come and listen to the heavy metal bands, but they didn't care about the kind of music we were playing. But see, in a way, in a small way, like, we had a unique calling in that context, because there were kids that we would be able to reach and talk to through our music, through the lyrics, through talking to them afterwards about our faith, that other bands wouldn't be able to connect with. But the opposite was true, because we had a unique context and calling for what we were doing. Timothy had a unique calling as a spiritual leader, and Paul made sure he knew the importance of it, and he gave him specifics. Well, what about Saul? Many of us know him by Paul, but did you know that before his name was Paul, he went by Saul? It is perhaps the most dramatic story of a calling in the New Testament. I want to read to you first from Acts 8, 1 to 3. It just kind of sets up the story. But this is when Stephen, one of the original followers of Jesus, became the first Christian martyr, when he was being stoned for his testimony. So there was this great mob around him, and they rushed at Stephen and took him outside the walls of Jerusalem, and they were stoning him to death. And the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And here's what it says about this Saul. Saul was in hearty agreement with putting Stephen to death. And on that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house and dragging off men and women, and he would put them into prison. This is the man we know as the great apostle Paul. But now, listen to the story of his transformation. But also listen to words that direct us to the fact that he was not only being converted, but he was being commissioned to a calling. So it continues in Acts chapter 9. It says, "Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, he went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way," which is what people first called the Christian movement, "both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem." Talk about persecution. "And as he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do.' The men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. And Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and he also neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias.' And he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' And the Lord said to him, 'Get up and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for a man named Tarsus, from Tarsus named Saul. For he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight.' But Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard from many about this man, Saul, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem. And there he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name.' But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go, for he is now a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake.'" That's probably not the calling that we pray for, is it? "So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he got up and was baptized, and he took food and was strengthened. And now for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, 'He is the Son of God.'" What a transformation. But also, what a commissioning and what a calling. You know, most of the rest of the New Testament was written by this man, Paul. It really is. The rest of the New Testament letters and books are kind of like a testimony to this calling. And it says, immediately after he was given that sight, he took some food and got strengthened. He immediately went and started proclaiming Jesus as the Son of God. Let's continue. Two others. How about Isaiah? The prophet Isaiah has to be one that we look at. His calling came at a time of national crisis and mourning. See, like I say, There's a calling, but there's also a place and a time that we're called. The king of Judah had just died. There was political, social, and spiritual unrest. Listen to his calling, Isaiah 6. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, and with a train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. And then I said, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." And then he said to me, "Go." What a calling. Did you notice with Isaiah's calling and also with Paul, it was immediate after they were not only converted and then called, they were ready. And they simply went. What a man of great influence. How is God using you to influence others with your calling? And finally, one more. How about Jeremiah? Jeremiah's calling begins with a promise from God to equip him with all that he needs. We'll look at Jeremiah finally. Jeremiah 1:4-10. "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'You know, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations.' Then I said, 'Alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I am a youth.' But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say, I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go. And all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord.' Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth." Interesting. He did not do that with Isaiah. "And the Lord said to me, 'Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant.'" Now that is a calling from God. But see, he also promised Jeremiah that he would equip him. He said, "No, you're going to go where I send you, and you'll speak the words that I give to you, and you're not to be afraid because I'm with you." We see the same things in Paul's story, Isaiah, Jeremiah. They each had a unique calling, and it was all people focused to influence other people. They were fully equipped to fulfill their calling. We praise God for that. Let's take a moment and just let this reality of God's grace and his grace gifts and his gracious calling, just let that rest on your heart. I mean, God calls us, God equips us, God sustains us. The whole journey is a gift of grace, fueled and fanned by the Holy Spirit in all